and the heart should be cleansed from all spiritual maladies, whether it is hasad, kina, bughd, takabbur, ujba, and what have you. Then every person's heart should be cleansed of these spiritual maladies, traits such as pride, self-conceitedness, animosity for others for no reason at all, jealousy. So this was his fikr. And for this Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a great amount of knowledge. Together with his piety, he was also a great alim of repute of his time. He excelled as an author of classical literary works. He wrote books in the Arabic language, but mainly he wrote in Farsi, in the Persian language. His most famous works are in fact in Farsi. One is titled Bostan, which simply means an orchard or fruit orchard, and the other one Gulistan, which translates as a rose garden. So these were his famous works. As far as Bostan is concerned, the entire book consists of Farsi, Persian poetry. But in Gulistan, mainly there are anecdotes in prose form, but interspersed with Persian poetry in between. And his object of both books was to inculcate good morals, ethics, mannerisms, akhlaq in the readers of his books. In Gulistan, he gives anecdotes, incidents of people of the past and people of his time as well, incidents of kings, incidents of princes, incidents of pious people, and together with that, he has also, in this book, given accounts of his own experiences. One of his own experiences, in the book, he mentions that there was a time when I was going through a rough patch financially. Such a rough patch that I could not afford shoes. So I was walking barefooted to the masjid and lamenting over my pitiable condition that today I have no shoes on my feet. But he says, when I noticed at the door of the masjid a person struggling to get into the masjid, crawling on his haunches. In essence, this person had no legs. So that is when he reflected, Allah Ta'ala is teaching me a lesson. I'm lamenting over the fact that I have no shoes, but this man has no legs. Immediately he made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'adam probably came to mind as well, when Nabi Sa'adam says to this effect, that إِذَا نَظَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى مَنْ فُضِّلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْخَلْقِ فَلْيَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُ مِمَّنْ فُضِّلَ عَلَيْهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ الْسَلَاةُ السَّلَامُ. When you see a person who is ahead of you, superior to you, excels in terms of worldly possessions, in terms of worldly traits, perhaps he has good looks, good health, very good physique, or perhaps financially, he is better off than you. Nabi Karim Sa'adam says, don't look at this person. Look at those who are less fortunate than you, in terms of wealth, in terms of physical features, because then you will learn to make shukr, appreciate the bounties conferred upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ, that this will assist you towards acknowledging, appreciating the blessing conferred upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another account of his own incident he gives. He says, when I was a little toddler, and I became reached the age when my mother felt that I am now old enough to attend the maktab to learn to recite the Quran. So he says, Allah Ta'ala prepared me for the maktab. My mother also prepared me. Allah Ta'ala made my mindset to look forward to going to my first day of the maktab, of the madrasa. My mother was also overjoyed, anxious, that today my little son will be going to the maktab. So these pious people, they used to look forward to sending their children to the madaris, to the makatib, to the maktab. It was an occasion of joy for them. Perhaps Shaykh Sadi Rahmatullahi was merely 4 or 5 years old at that point of time. Let us take an account of ourselves, a bit of introspection. What is our behavior? Not everyone, but majority of parents look forward to sending the child more to school, first day of school, than sending them to the first day of the maktab. They will make all sorts of preparation to send them to the school, but that maktab is relegated to the background. One of those things. Nothing important. We need to prioritize. We ought to know, acknowledge, believe with conviction that our deen is more important than the dunya. So the mother prepared him an occasion of joy. She even had a ring prepared for him, a silver ring that was embedded with a diamond studded ring. Little boy, no problem in wearing a ring, as it is, even for males, up to a certain weight, 1 mithqal, which is just over 4 grams, about 4.37 grams, men are allowed to wear such silver rings, even though they may have a gemstone embedded in it. So she prepared the ring for him. A moment of joy. Our pious predecessors also, when their children, little ones, would reach an age where they could learn to recite the Quran, Alif Ba, Yastanul Quran, they used to consider it an important occasion. They used to invite a pious personality from the town. Not a huge feast or anything, but the most pious person in their mind, they would invite to start off the Bismillah of the child. And it was a habit of our pious predecessors, not a sunnah per se, don't consider this to be a sunnah from the hadith, but they tried and tested amal practice of the akabir, that they found their children successful in their dini endeavors, in their quest for dini knowledge, that they would start them off in maktab, the bismillah would be made, when in terms of the lunar calendar, they would reach the age of 4 years, 4 months, and 4 days. Our Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi, used to mention about himself that he also started his bismillah when he turned 4 years, 4 months, and 4 days of age. So the Buzuk saw some benefit in this tried and tested formula. It was considered as an important occasion. So here too, the mother dressed him, got Sheikh Sadi ready, gave him that beautiful ring, valuable ring. He went happily off to the maktab, started attending, going to the maktab, returning home. Next day returning home. It so happened, he himself mentioned the incident, that once when I was returning from the maktab, a robber accosted me, caught hold of me, He noticed that valuable ring in my finger, the diamond glittering. So you are after all a robber, he sees. He got hold of the child, 4-year-old child, young child, and he used a very shrewd tactic to coax that ring out of the child. He did not snatch it or pull it out of the finger. He said to the child, "Let take off that ring and put it into your mouth. Tell me how it tastes." Obviously, it was not something delicious, no taste whatsoever. The child quickly took it out. Then the thief had in his pocket, which we term as mithai, sweetmeats. In today's terms, we would say sweets and chocolates. The thief took that out and said to the child, that, "Listen, you tasted the ring, now put the sweets and chocolates into your mouth." He ate it with relish, enjoyed it, and the thief asked him, "Then now tell me, which of the two tasted better?" Obviously he said the sweets and chocolates. So, and then the thief said to him, to the child, "Are you prepared to trade your diamond ring for the sweets?" He became ready. He gave away the diamond ring and took the sweets and chocolates. He went home happily to his mother and explained the incident to her. She then held her head between her hands and expressed great disappointment and said to the child, "Oh my son, what have you done? What have you done? You've given away a valuable diamond ring in exchange for a few sweets and chocolates." She said to him, "If you were to buy sweets and chocolates with a diamond ring, you would have bought so many, you could have eaten them till your dying day and those sweets wouldn't have been finished." Little child obviously did not know the value of the diamond ring. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullahi cites these incidents as a moral to teach the readers of the book that reflect. You have been brought into the world. We came into the world for a purpose. لِيَعْبُدُونَ, for the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem from left the world and he left behind not one diamond but two diamonds, the Quran and his Sunnah. Valuable diamonds. In a hadith, Nabi Kareem says, "قَدْ تَرَبْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا لَنْ تَظِلُّ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا إِنْ يَعْتَصَمْتُمْ بِهِ." Did I leave behind such a valuable asset that if you hold fast onto it, you practice upon that, you will never go astray? And then Nabi Sallam elaborates, what is this asset? What is a diamond? Kitabullah, the book of Allah. The other diamond, Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in one hadith, Nabi Sallam says, "Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah." He who loves my sunnat, and loving the sunnat does not involve mere hollow slogans that we love the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but putting it into practice. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, he who loves my sunnah by practicing upon them has shown love for me, and he shows love for me shall enjoy my company in Jannat. Valuable assets, valuable diamonds, hold fast onto them, and that is what the fadl of Allah, your road to Jannat. And when we go into Jannat, there, we will not only get one packet of sweets and chocolates, like Sheikh Sadi received, but perpetual. Not only sweets and chocolates, whatever you can dream about. In fact, bounties that you never even imagined. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard of. Such bounties for showing appreciation for these two valuable diamonds, Kitabullah wa Sunnatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the way of our pious predecessors. They gave priority to dini education, dini knowledge. A famous incident, many of us may have heard, Allah Ta'ala blesses some of His servants with a gift of kashf. But in a discreet way, Allah Ta'ala sometimes reveals upon certain servants matters of the akhirat, matters of barzakh, matters of the qabr. So one such buzrug was inspired. He came to the family. With regard to him, he had the kashf. And he said to them that the head of the family, the father, who had passed on, was being afflicted with punishment in the qabr. But then all of a sudden, the punishment was removed. It was uplifted. So he gets kashf. That even the malaika were astonished. Out of curiosity, they went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Allah ta'ala that what is the reason that the punishment has been uplifted, removed. Allah gave the reply that on this day, when I remove the punishment, the child of that father went for his first day to Maktab. And he made commencement of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Allah Ta'ala tells the malaika that I can never ever now punish the father of a child who declares that I am most gracious and most merciful. On that Allah Ta'ala removed the punishment. Who can give a similar example that a child receives a diploma, degree from a university, and that became the source of punishment being removed, being alleviated? Yet we celebrate that occasion that our son has graduated. But we shift this into the background. Our child becoming hafiz, alim, practicing Muslim. We ought to express more joy over this. So in terms of the world, you look at those less fortunate than you, so that you can appreciate the blessings conferred upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of deen, look at those who are better off than you, who are ahead of you, so that you can not only emulate them, but try and outdo them. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. It is in deeni affairs that people ought to compete with one another, emulate others, try and outdo them, not for name and fame, but for the pleasure of Allah. The hadith also encouraged us in deeni matters, try and excel over others. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ مَا فِي النِّدَاءِ وَالصَّفِّ الْأَوَّلِ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا إِلَّا يَسْتَهِمُ عَلَيْهِ لَسْتَهَمُ. The people knew how much reward there is in giving adhan. We consider adhan as something trivial. That yes, most of our muazzinin are perhaps Malawians, Somalians. So we don't give importance to this action. Whereas Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if people knew how much reward these Muazzins are earning, as the appointed Muazzin, he has the right to give Adhan, but he is after all human. If he is ill, absent, every other Muslim, Musalli, should be falling over one another and eager to give that Adhan. Such reward in giving Adhan. And also Nabi Qawm says, if people knew the reward of performing Salah in the first stuff, they would actually compete with one another. And if there was no other way to get a spot in the first stuff, except by drawing lots, or to get that position of giving Adhan today, when the Muazzin is ill, they would draw lots. If it's a small masjid, let's say there are only 25 places, spots in the first serve. If people knew the value, the reward, 100 people will come forward to take the spot in the first serve. 100 people can't fit. So they will put the names of the 100 people in a little box, throw out the first 25 names that are drawn out, they will get the right to stand in the first serve. So this is if people knew the value of this. Then if it meant drawing lots to decide who gets placed in the first serve, they would do so. So this hadith indicates in matters of deen, we ought to compete with one another, become better Muslims. In order to become better Muslims, we need to appreciate these two valuable diamonds, the Qur'an and the Sunnah, to expunge our hearts from the filth of the dunya, love of the dunya. We need the dunya to survive for our day-to-day life. So earn that. But do not run behind the dunya. Do not become captivated by the dunya. Do not acquire love for the dunya. Which is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَةٍ. Love for the world is the root of all evil. He did not say the world itself is the root of all evil, but love for the world. So we need to remove spiritual maladies, filth from the heart, love of the dunya, love of position, empty the heart out so that we can create space for love of the Qur'an, love of the Sunnah, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's love must come into the heart. Like one poet said very beautifully, Har tamanna ab to rukhsat ho gayi. Ab to aaja khalwat ho gayi. That every desire of the world has left my heart. Oh Allah, the heart is now vacant for your love. You come into my heart. And the best way to remove love of the dunya and bring in love of Allah and the deen of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to occupy ourselves in the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ ثِقَالَةٌ وَالثِقَالَةُ الْقُلُوبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لِكْرَسَ. Everything has a polish to clean that item. And the polish of the heart is ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where do we learn our dhikr? That dhikr that will bring us closer to Allah, remove the filth of the dunya, bring love of Quran and Sunnah. Where will we acquire this? By going into the company of the pious. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدِنٌ وَمَعْدِنُ التَّقْوَى قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ أو كما قال رسالتكم. Everything has a valuable mine, like a gold mine, silver mine, diamond mine. So similarly, taqwa also is a mine. We have to mine it, acquire it. Where do we acquire this? Nabi Prophet says, the mine for taqwa are the hearts of those who have gained recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pious servants of Allah sit in their company. Let them guide us. Let them take us by the hand on that path of suluk, so that we can come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can gain recognition. We can value the deen of Allah ta'ala. Value the Quran. Value the sunnah. The Sahaba Ikram radhiyallahu anhu mentioned, they had true value for this. When the battle of Mu'tah took place in the 8th year of Hijri, Nabi Akram from dispatched the army, which consisted of a mere 3,000 Sahaba Ikram radhiyallahu anhu mentioned. The Amir was Hazrat Zayd bin Harithah radhiyallahu ta'ala, and they were fighting the enemy, the Roman army, the so-called superpower of the day, Roman Empire. That army consisted of 200,000. Against all odds, 3,000 combating an army of 200,000. When the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu mentioned came to know about the strength of the enemy, they made mashara. Some suggested that we should send someone to Medina so that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can send reinforcements. One of the Sahaba in the army, Abdullah bin Rawaha radhiyallahu anhu, suggested that there is no need for this. And he stood up and gave a very motivational speech to the entire Muslim army. He said to them that the success of jihad does not depend on outward might and power, does not depend on military supremacy, does not depend, in today's terms, on arms and ammunition. Success in jihad does not depend on our numbers. Success of jihad depends on the conviction of that deen with which Allah Ta'ala has given us honor and prestige, that is deen of Islam. We have that deen within us. Let us proceed. They proceeded to the battlefield. And with a military strategy of the Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, against all odds, this army of 3,000 defeated that army of 200,000. كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. When a person has yaqeen, conviction on the help of Allah, then no one can confront that person. Allah's help is with him. The heart that we have within us is like a king. The entire body, all the limbs, are like a kingdom over which the heart rules. The verse that I recited, Allah Ta'ala says, on the day of Qiyamah, only that person will be successful. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, who comes with a sound and a clean heart. If the heart is corrupt, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ, all the wealth of the world, all his children, will not benefit him in the least. If his heart was clean, heart was sound, he would have nurtured his children. Children would make dua, after the Father left the world. If his heart was clean, he would have spent in the path of Allah avenues of charity. Then these things will benefit you. Otherwise, if he has a corrupt heart, no benefit to him, no matter how much wealth he had, no matter how much children he had. The hadith which I mentioned expresses the same sentiment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah, wa inna fil jasadi mudgha, there is a piece of flesh in the body, idha salahat, salah al jasadu kullu. When that is rectified, sound and clean, the entire body becomes rectified. And if that piece of flesh is corrupt, the limbs of the body will become corrupt. Because the heart is the king of the kingdom. If the king becomes corrupt, the king will issue evil commands. There is an attractive lady going by, cast lustful glances at her. There is music blaring away. Use your ears to listen to the music. The heart will issue instruction. Walk towards dens of evil, towards the nightclub, towards the raves, because the heart is corrupt. If the heart is clean, the limbs will also behave. The king will issue good commands. So the position of the king has an effect on the subject, on the subordinates. There is an incident mentioned in a book called Akhlaq-e-Muhsini. Once a king went around touring his kingdom, he came across a fruit orchard. The people tending to the orchard did not recognize him, that this is our king. So he asked them to offer some fruit, and he also asked for some drink. He was thirsty. So as far as the drink is concerned, one of the gardener's caretakers broke a pomegranate, luscious looking one, cut it, squeezed out the juice. There was so much barakat in that, half a pomegranate yielded 2 cups of juice. The king was very impressed. And the thought crossed his mind that this fruit orchard is indeed splendid. It belongs to a private person. This property can only belong to the kingdom. I'm going for my hunting expedition. When I return, this property will be misappropriated, annexed, confiscated by the kingdom. So he went away. When he returned from his expedition, he asked the caretaker for more juice. From the same tree, he broke a pomegranate, he squeezed out the juice, the entire pomegranate could not fill the cup. He took another pomegranate, it took 2 pomegranates to fill half a cup. Whereas the first time, half a pomegranate filled 2 cups. King was also surprised, the garden also. So he asked the gardener, what has happened? The same tree. So he replied, it appears as if the king of our country's intention has become corrupt. So that has a negative effect, adverse effect, even on the juice, on the pomegranate juice. So in his heart, the king immediately changed his intention. Said, yes, we will not confiscate this property. We will not annex it. Then he asked for more juice from the same tree. The man took down a pomegranate, again like the first time, half a pomegranate yielded 2 cups. So if this king becomes corrupt, the heart, it has a negative effect on all the limbs of the body. Talking of kings and queens, I mentioned this in a talk last week as well, that the piece of news has dominated international media for the last few weeks. Print media, electronic media, social media, radio, television. And what is that piece of news? The death of the Queen of England. We're talking about kings, so it reminds me of that. The Western world considered this as a loss. The Christian world also considered it to be a loss. But definitely, most definitely, it was not a loss to the Muslim world. Yet our Muslim community is so naive that unfortunately in UK, other parts of the world, Muslims pray for the well-being of the Queen, who passed away in a condition of shirk and kufr. Na'udhu billah. The Quran says, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. Do not ever say prayers for these hypocrites, for these mushrikeen, for these kuffar. She is the same queen that during her 70-year tenure, when genocide took place against Muslims, hundreds of thousands of people still in Iraq, she condoned it. She turned a blind eye. And today Muslims holding night vigils for this lady, something to cry tears of blood about. It does not behove a Muslim. It is this queen's same country that oppressed the Muslimin on the Indian subcontinent. When there was a British regime over India, many, many ulama and other figures as well, especially Muslims, were imprisoned, tortured, incarcerated, executed. Hazrat Shaykhuddin Rahmatullahi was incarcerated on the island of Malta. Hazrat Madani Rahmatullahi also joined him in jail. During the British regime, ulama opposed the regime. The Battle of Shamli took place. Many ulama were martyred. They fought the battle. They drove the British out. The British Empire, that they mooted in these terms, the sun that will never set. But the first place that it set was in India. And then they were kicked out from the rest of the world. So look at the irony. The same government that oppressed us, imprisoned us, incarcerated us, executed us, from Delhi to Lahore, there was not a single tree left on which the body of an alim was not strung up, was not hanged. And today we're making dua for them, that God save the Queen, may she rest in peace. Look at the irony. What is so attractive about this Queen? That you celebrate her death, mourn her death, as if she's your grandmother. Does she possess beauty? Does she possess financial muscle? Does she have some achievement? These are the basic factors why one person admires another. Jamal, Kamal, Nawal. Beauty, achievement, or wealth and generosity. These three qualities are found in the optimum level in none other than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most beautiful of Allah's creation. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha used to say, لَنَا شَمْسٌ وَلِلْآفَاقِ شَمْسُ وَشَمْسُنَا تَتْلُعُ بَعْدَ الْإِشَى. The sky has a sun 93 million miles away, the radiance of which we enjoy. She says, we have our own personal sun at home, referring to Nabi Karim Sahib, the nur of Nabi Karim Sahib. She says, our sun rises after Isha. In the darkness of the night, the radiance, the nur of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion she says, I was busy mending some clothing. My leader fell out of the head. I was groping for it in the dark. Nabi Sam entered and the room became illuminated. And I found the leader. If we had noor like that, we can say goodbye to Eskom. We don't need load shedding off. That nooraniyat, noor of the sunnah. We can overcome every challenge if we have deen within us. Kamal, no one in the creation more perfect than Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On the day of Qiyamah, every other Nabi will be in the condition of nafsi, nafsi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say, ummati, ummati. He will intercede and retribution will commence and we will all inshallah go into Jannah. Nawal, generosity of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A poor man came. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received in the Baytul Mal a valley full of goats. He gave all away. The man went back to his village to his tribe, invited them to our deen. Come to our deen of such a person who is so generous. He gives so much as if there is no end to his treasures. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, if I had possessed gold equivalent to the Mount of Uhud, 3 days would not go by. I would distribute all that gold. Can any king or queen of the world be so generous? We falling after this kuffar. We have Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make us our role model. This is a diamond. The Quran and the Sunnah. Allah give us the tawfiq of appreciating these diamonds, these valuable assets. Keep us on deen. Allah give us the tawfiq of making a fikr concern of cleansing our heart so that we reach Allah Ta'ala in that condition. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That we reach Allah with a sound and a clean heart. Allah give us all tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.